This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, pet lovers. Welcome to Best Bets for Pets. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So, you know, I know a lot of you have dogs out there, and there's always questions that come up that, you know, how do I do this for my dog, that for my dog? So I have a wonderful solution for you. Stay tuned. I can't wait for you to hear my next guest.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Darren Belisario. He is the CEO of Good Owners and Dog GPT. Welcome, Darren.
Hi, Michelle. So lovely to be here.
Nice to have you on the show. It was wonderful meeting you at Global, and I'm very excited to have you here. So what exactly is Good Owners?
Yeah, so we're an owner education organization. You know, we were founded back in 2021 by a great group of trainers and dog professionals around the country. You know, folks coming from the pet dog training space, dog sports like agility and obedience, the show space, confirmation, breeding, rescues, education, and all sorts of folks, you know, over 200 years of experience across them really came together to create Good Owners with the idea of, you know, how can we improve owner access to kind of reliable knowledge and information and guidance.
So thanks for sharing that. Where would people access Good Owners?
GoodOwners.dog. Easy to get there. Easy to remember. GoodOwners.dog or GoodOwners.guide. Either one.
What are some of the things that you could find in there? Like usual. So we know probably basic, you know, how do I teach my dog to sit and heel, probably all the basic stuff. But what are some things that are unusual that people would say, wow, I never thought I would look there for this kind of info?
Oh, such a good question. So, I mean, we really wanted to cover everything that, you know, you or I as a dog owner might encounter over the course of your life with your dog within reason, right? And it's now the largest, most comprehensive resource for owners ever created. So we're really proud of kind of its coverage, and we're constantly updating it. And so it can be, you know, some of the basic stuff, like, you know, some of the potty training stuff, which, you know, we say it's basic, but most of us, myself included, when we get our first puppy and even later puppies, there's a lot of different approaches to potty training. So, you know, trying to understand how to approach that and what are some of the different things to think about. But to also things like socialization, crate training, physical activity stuff, grooming, right? That's a big area that a lot of owners that we work with are really curious about, right? Like, what types of coats do I need to groom and how do I groom them, right? If I, you know, doodles are very popular these days, right? So if my dog is a hair dog, is a doodle, is a poodle, you know, how does that affect grooming? Nail trimming, that sort of thing.
Okay. And what about medical questions, which you should always go to your vet, of course, but what if people right then and there, they don't have access to their vet?
Yes. Such a good question.
I'll give you an example. And this has actually happened to me, and it was freaky. I came home one night and Mr. Zeus, who's now in doggy heaven, was in my office and he was on the floor. His eyes were like rolling in his head. He was shaking. And he had gotten sick someplace else in the house, and I didn't know what the heck was going on. I was freaking out. And I live in a metropolitan, you know, a city, so big area, so I had access to an animal hospital. Not everybody lives in areas where they do have access, where they could just drive to a 24-hour animal hospital. He had vestibular old dog disease, which
wow.
is unusual, rare, and generally, I found out, generally happens like late at night. This was like not like 11 o'clock at night. So what if somebody had something like that happen, something strange? Would they be able to find the information in good owners?
Such a good question, right? Because health is a big, big thing. I would say a couple of things. First, exactly as you said, right? In an emergency situation, you've got to call a vet. You got to call a vet hospital because there's so many things that could be going on with a given set of symptoms, right? Whether it's seizures or foaming, right? It could be poison. It could be a neurological disease. It could be a whole lot of things. So I would never recommend that somebody try to read through anything in an emergency situation, of course. And I should say also that there's so many great vet hospitals, not just locally, but also like phone lines that you can call and things like that around the country, some of which I link to at the Good Owners Guide at goodowners.dog. So I'd say in emergency situations, of course, look out there to try and understand things. We also, I would say in situations like that, in addition to the information that we contain, we really try to connect owners with an ecosystem of reliable resources. So for example, like the Pet Poison Hotline, we have an app in the guide that, directs you to the Pet Poison Hotline, for example. So if you're worried about toxicity or something that your pet may have eaten or something like that. But so I'd say in acute cases, like that situation where you're really worried about, as you should be, kind of real harm coming to your loved one, in the short period of time, get on the phone, call vets, call hospitals. That's the way to go. For more kind of systematic things, like a lot of folks struggle with joint issues with their dogs, especially as they get older, right? They might be creaky or might be moving funny or things like that. That's a space where you can start to look to resources like ours for a better understanding of what your dog may be going through, if that makes sense.
Okay, so it could be something, so maybe something like, okay, my dog is eating grass and just puked.
Yeah.
Why? And that happens
exactly.
All the time. And maybe someone is concerned because their dog did that, twice in the day. So that's not super serious, but it's something of concern, of course.
Exactly. And, I should say also, we focus a lot of our content on the behavioral side because there's a lot of behavioral explanations for things like, for example, even eating grass, where, of course, there's health explanations, but also, but we also try to link to and share connections to good health resources out there. So, for example, like Fear Free is an organization. I'm sure many of your listeners are aware of. Yeah, they have good veterinary resources. But I'd also say, the vast majority of, vets and vet techs out there, folks working in the animal medical community really want to help. They really want to help pets. So like never hesitate to call. People will always, everyone from the front desk to the back office at any vet or animal health facility is going to really do their best to help you.
Yes. All of the good ones will do that. Yes, of course. What prompted you to start Good Owners?
So, it was really us going through this experience, many years ago now of, becoming dog owners. When we became dog owners for the first time, I think we, like a lot of folks, my wife and I, like a lot of folks, were lost, right? There were just so many questions we had that we didn't realize we would have, right? Like a good example is socialization. I mentioned before, we knew that we needed to socialize, our puppy, but we didn't really know what that meant. We didn't understand, how to go about that. We were like, okay, well, we need to take our puppy to meet a lot of people and take them to lots of places. And that's true and it's great. But what we later discovered was, how you socialize your puppy and what you socialize them to can really affect the rest of their life, right? How confident they are and how comfortable they are with different experiences and new experiences. And that was stuff that we learned later. And so I think that's just one example. But I think for us, as we kind of grew in our lives with our dogs, we realized how much work it took and how hard it was to find good information that we could really work with and easily digest and like actually take into our lives pretty quickly with our puppy and our adult dog, And so that's really what inspired, us to start pursuing this work really is, how can we make it easier for our owners to find their way to good information? Because I would say, and feel free to let me know if I'm going off on too much of a tangent here, but, I would say that you know, today, if you go to like Google or Facebook, that's the first place we all turn, right? You go to Google or Facebook, and it's really difficult to navigate because you get, you know, dozens of kind of SEO optimized blog posts or articles or videos, some of which may be good, but often they'll contradict one another, or they'll only deal with a particular situation, or won't give you kind of broader context. And so, you know, you end up spending, you know, many, many, many hours going through all sorts of different resources and never really feeling confident or really feeling comfortable, right? And so that was, anyway, that was the inspiration for our work.
Okay, thanks. You're right. There's almost information overkill out there because you go down the rabbit hole. You start looking for something and then there could be sponsored ads that pop up depending on the browser you look at or use rather. And there's so much information. And speaking of all of, you know, AI and all of that, you also created something called DogGPT.
That's right.
What is that? Because I know a lot of people out there are probably familiar with ChatGPT, which is, you know, AI. And what is DogGPT?
Yeah. So if you go back to 2023, when all of these GPT things were kind of coming on the scene, you know, with ChatGPT and now, you know, Google has their Gemini, their Bard, and all these other, you know, programs out there, we found ourselves in kind of a special situation because we had, as I mentioned, you know, the largest knowledge base in the world on dog handling and dog ownership that we created over several years with the work of a lot of hard work of a lot of dedicated, experienced, knowledgeable folks, right? We had this amazing kind of data set, so to speak, as well as some great, you know, MIT machine learning engineers on our team, this wonderful expert cohort. And so we had all of these sort of resources and we said to ourselves, you know, can we try to build a, you know, Q&A app, you know, using these GPT technologies, what are called large language model technologies, and drawing from our massive data set to provide owners with even easier, more immediate access to information. So that was really kind of the inspiration. And so it took us a couple of years of intensive development, but eventually we succeeded, right? Where now we have, as you mentioned, DogGPT, which does exactly that, right? You can ask a question, it draws from the resources we have in the Good Owner's Guide to Dogs and others, and it gives you kind of, you know, consistent, reliable, comprehensive information to help you understand the situation you might be in.
Okay, thanks. We're going to take a quick break for our sponsor and we'll be right back.
As your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth. And yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 7 years in a row. And there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Darren Belisario. He is the CEO of Good Owners and DogGPT. So we talked a little about DogGPT, why it was created, what it is. How does it work?
So from the perspective of a dog owner or like under the hood?
Very basic. Kind of— so like, where do I find DogGPT? And very basic because we have all types of listeners. So some listeners are very tech savvy. Some are, you know, I have a smartphone and I call on it, maybe text, and that's it. So there's a lot of different levels of experience with technology that listen to Best Bets for Pets. So where do I find it and how does it work? What do? Do I just type in a question or talk and say a question? Is it kind of like ChatGPT and it's an app, correct?
Yes. So you can find it at doggpt.com, really easy. or you can go to goodowners.dog and find it there as well. And you can use it either on its own at dogsgpt.com, or if you go to the Good Owners Guide, we have it integrated there. And the way it works is it's super simple, exactly what you said, right? You ask a question, you know, I give an example, right? Like, why, you know, why is my dog bouncing off the walls, right? A lot of us face this situation, you know, no matter how much I take my dog for walks or take him to the park, like they always seem to be bouncing off walls. What's going on? You just ask your question, and what it's going to spit out is, you know, after thinking for a second, it's going to say, okay, well, here's the 3, 4, 5, 10 different things that might be going on. And so you should pretty instantly have a good sense for, you know, what might be going on in your dog's mind and your dog's life.
Okay. And there's a lot of AI out there right now that you have, like you said, there's different ones, Gemini Copilot, there's all kinds of names. There's a lot of them. Why makes DogGPT different? Again, ChatGPT is out there. But so if I ask ChatGPT, why is my dog going off the wall? And DogGPT, why is my dog going, you know, off the wall? And actually, I've experienced this myself. When they're little, I used to have to go to the dog park every single day with my dog, because otherwise I was in for crazies. But I get that. So if I ask, you know, DogGPT and ChatGPT the same question, what makes it DogGPT different?
I love that question. I'm so glad you asked that, Michelle, because it's so, so important. I think that in these early days of AI coming out there onto the scene, many of us as users have difficulty understanding kind of the differences and all that. So one of the challenges was what we call general large language models, or kind of general chat AI apps like ChatGPT or Gemini or Copilot, right? Is that they can't distinguish good information from bad information. So they're pulling from the entire internet, right? And that's fine, right? That's what they know how to do. And that's really powerful in a lot of circumstances. But the consequence of that is that, you know, if you take an area like dogs, as you know, there is so much bad information out there. I mean, just so, so much kind of erroneous information. And that's part of what's so confusing for dog owners, right? Is that when you look for insight, you get 15 different answers from 15 different places, and they all contradict one another. So what ChatGPT is not going to be able to help you with is giving you a picture that you know you can rely on. For example, just a couple months ago, there was a really interesting piece of work that was done by the Columbia School of Journalism. They looked at 8 different common models out there, right? ChatGPT and Grok and Gemini and a few others. And they found that 60% of responses in their use case were incorrect, were factually wrong. And 42% of responses were confidently wrong, meaning the AI was telling the user, this is definitely the answer, and it was incorrect, right? And so I think with general chat applications like ChatGPT and Gemini, you just have to be really, really careful. So when you're looking for specific information in space like dogs, for example, right, what DogGPT gives you is, do you know where it's getting its insights? It's pulling all its information from the Good Owner's Guide to Dogs. You know that it's reliable. You can also follow up. So, you know, let's say you ask a question from DogGPT, you know, on activity, and it gives you some information. Well, if you're accessing it through the Good Owner's Guide to Dogs, right, you can also then just go to the relevant chapters and learn more. So you can dig deeper on your own. So it gives you that dynamic experience as well. So I would say that's the real key here.
You know, as you were describing it, and this is coming out of left field, my listeners know that I sometimes do this, it made me think of The Wizard of Oz. Like, you're asking the question to the great Oz, right? The great AI service that you're using. And yeah, there might be just peculiarities that are inconsistent or not exactly what you need. So here's the tough one. How do people know that DogGPT is going to give them the right answer?
I love that question. It's all about transparency. So everything we have is pulling from the Good Owner's Guide to Dogs. So you can go there yourself and you can see all the information that we're pulling from and who's created and all of that. So it's not a black box in the way that, say ChatGPT is.
Okay. And then just to refresh people's memory from the first session that we had, Good Owner's Guide, who compiled all, where was all that information compiled from?
Yes. So that took us several years to develop, an incredible team of trainers and dog professionals around the country, right? Folks coming from, you know, pet dog training, sports, dog sports, right? If folks are familiar with that, you know, agility and obedience, confirmation, a show, you know, dog show stuff, breeding, rescues, you know, education. So just a lot of really incredible folks, over 200 years of professional training experience on the team. We're very, very proud of what we've created, and we're constantly updating it. It's a living document. Like, we're revising it every single week, every single month. And I should say, just none of it would have been possible without the really, really hard work of everyone who's contributed. And you can check that out as well at goodowners.dog. You know, nobody ever looks at acknowledgements, I know, but it's good to take a look and see all the folks who have really made it possible.
Exactly. So could there ever be a question that DogGPT does not know the answer to?
Oh, yeah. Happens all the time. And it'll tell you. And although it's funny because, you know, when we got out there and we started running DogGPT with folks, it was really funny where you tend to get a mixture of two types of questions. The first type is a handful of questions that just everybody encounters, right? Like, why is my dog bouncing off the walls? Or, you know, my dog barks all day when I'm at work, right? Or leash pulling, that's a really big one that a lot of us struggle with. It's like, my dog's pulling on the leash, what do I do? So there's like a handful of questions, I would say like 10 to 20 questions, that is about like 70, 80% of what folks are struggling with. And then there's another like 10 to 20% of questions, which are really peculiar, interesting,
obscure,
weird situations.
I was thinking.
Yeah.
So really strange ones, like something I'd probably ask a strange one, like that vestibular old dog. Well, that you'd run to the doctor for. But so what happens with those weird questions? Like, what about, does somebody ever ask something like, can I paint my dog's nails? Well, people that groom their dogs know that, but maybe that's not a good question. What's an obscure question that comes up? I can't even think of one because...
Oh, I'll tell you. My favorite, the weirdest one I've
what's
heard
the weirdest?
Is,
yeah, what's the weirdest?
The weirdest question that I've seen, at least, in the DogGPT get asked is, someone had a dog that was really going bonkers and just losing their mind and stressed out and bouncing off the walls, but only when the air conditioning turned on and only in a certain room, right? And so... you know, and it had nothing to do with temperature and all this other stuff. It was a really weird situation. And, you know, that's a specific case where, look, when you're dealing with something like that, you've got to work with a trainer. And I think one thing I should say, which I should have highlighted earlier, no matter what situation you're facing, we really encourage everybody to go and talk to a professional dog trainer or other kind of relevant dog professional, right? And we always say that at the end of DogGPT, right? Because it's there to kind of give you some insight and help you understand a little bit better the situation you're in. But actually working with your dog or helping your dog in a particular situation, like, that takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of nuance. And the easiest, fastest way to help your dog in those types of cases is, you know, talk to a professional. They're going to help you. They're going to teach you. They're going to give you the tools you need to really be successful. So I should have said that earlier, but that's really, really important.
Okay. And see, I would have just thought maybe the room is haunted or something. You never know. I mean, there's always that percentage of unknown in just about everything, right? There's always, whether it's minute or a little bit larger, there's always some unknown, but that is odd. One particular.
Yeah, that was a weird one for sure.
That's weird. Yeah. Something I would probably have to deal with and with my crew here, but my crew's all cats. For DogGPT, so you can download it at DogGPT or at goodowners.dog. Is it something you can just download? Is it something that it has a subscription? How does it work?
Good question. So DogGPT.com, you can sign up to join. Right now it's in beta access only. We're limiting kind of who has access to it just to kind of control that a little bit. So you can sign up there, you can put in your email, and then we'll notify you if we're going to connect you. It's totally free. If you go to the Good Owners Guide, goodowners.dog or goodowners.guide, and sign up for our general guide, that will get access to DogGPT directly. So when you search the guide, it will tell you what chapters to look for, and it will also give you kind of the DogGPT kind of insight and answer there. So you can check it out there more quickly if you'd like.
Okay, thanks for that. Where do you see DogGPT in, say, 5 years?
It's hard, man. With the way things go as fast as... That's a tough one. Yeah. I would say, our overall mission with DogGPT and with the Guide to Dogs is really transforming owner access to information, right? We're tired of 60 million, 70 million, 80 million dog owners really lost in the chaos of information out there. And so we want to really get this out there to as many folks as we can, so they have a single place to go to start to get started on their learning journey.
Yes, I would love that too. And I think the more that people know, as you know, owners or pet parents, the more they know, the more they're informed, the more dogs that are rescued, and you know, the better off we all are, right? I mean,
yes,
that's the ultimate. Less dogs that are in shelter. Well, less dogs that remain in shelters, and worse.
Because that's exactly
a lot of it has to do with being informed. We saw a lot of that, unfortunately, right after the pandemic, with, you know, people just returning their dogs, which, you know, if they had more access to better information, maybe they wouldn't have done that.
That's exactly it. And, you know, I'd say a couple of things there. One is, you hit the nail on the head, Michelle. You know, we think a significant percentage of free homes returns to rescues are, when you talk to those folks, and we've interviewed several hundred dog owners in the last few years, and when you talk to those folks, often they could have potentially been successful, but their expectations weren't always, you know, they didn't have that toolkit on day one to really kind of be a little prepared and kind of hit the ground running. So you're spot on there. The other thing I would say is, the more that you know, the easier your life is with your dog, right? I mean, so much of our lives with the dogs are spent kind of wondering and not sure, and, you know, struggling a little bit at times, because we care so much about them and we want them to be happy and successful and healthy. And so I think you're right, absolutely right. Like, the more you know, the easier life is with your companion.
Right. And people definitely need to be more educated. Mr. Zeus came to me. I found him because he was returned to a shelter. So it was lucky for me, and it was for a ridiculous reason. But do you want to hear?
Yes, I do. Now I'm curious. I didn't want to cry, but I mean, and Zeus is a great name, by the way.
He's in doggy heaven now, but I called him my angel boy, because he was such a sweet, sweet, little timid dog. He's 40-pound flat hair retriever mix. And so when I went to the shelter, it was right after my other one passed. I was lonely. So I wanted a border collie mix. So he's flat hair retriever, border collie, and maybe some other stuff. And it was a hurricane was coming up. So I was just looking. So when I found him, he's this little 15-pound fluff ball. Whoa. And, you know, not fluffy like a little dog fluffy, but, you know, he's all fluffy, still puppy fur. And he was named, first of all, his name was Binky. So why Binky? That was what they named him. But he was returned because he was growling at the sun when the sun was pulling the dog toy. And I thought, that is ridiculous. All dogs growl if your kid's going to, or adult is going to play with their toy. That's how they play. They go, you know, I'm not doing a good dog growl, but, you know, like, and they're right, and they have it in their teeth, and that's how they play.
That's it, yeah.
This was someone just not aware, maybe thought, and I get that, you know, maybe they thought their child was endangered, but that's how dogs play. And a child should not be pulling something out of a dog's mouth anyways, at all, ever. So I was glad they didn't have dog GPT then, because I wouldn't have had Mr. Zeus back in 2005. But that's one of the things that I think could be avoided. People, you know, if you adopt from a shelter, and I think the dog was initially dropped from the same shelter it was returned to, should, you know, if they were educated, this dog wouldn't have been taken, you know, brought to a home and then brought back. And then I get that things sometimes happen, even if you are educated, but this could have been avoided. Better for me, but could have been avoided easily. This is basic behavior for a dog, for a puppy.
What a fantastic story. I mean, that is such a good, that's exactly it, Michelle. I mean, that is exactly the situation that we're talking about here is, you know, and I really put the onus on us as a professional community, right? How do we make it easier and give those owners easier access to information, right? Because look, I can't say it enough that everyone, every dog parent out there should absolutely try to please go find a good professional dog trainer to work with a little bit, right? Take some classes, go work with them. Many of them, if you don't live near a good one, then, you know, you can go online. Many of them do virtual. But I know that that's a big lift and a big step for a lot of folks. And so I think, you know, how do we create easier access to helping people get some good information and start their learning journey and satisfy their curiosity and be better set up for success? with their puppies in exactly the type of situations you described, right? Because right now we're giving folks puppies and dogs and saying kind of, you know, good luck, right?
There you go. I mean, the shelters do a pretty good job of vetting and asking the right questions and all of that. So that's better. But pet parents and potential pet parents should do a little research as well. And, you know, pre-research before they even adopt. And then research when they have issues.
Yes. And how do we as a community make it easier for them to do that research? Because I understand, right? I mean, lives are busy and stressful. And people don't know what they don't know, right? And so how do we as a community make that, you know, as easier for folks to, because, you know, one thing I should say, you know, with the guide to dogs, when we show that and test that with, you know, pet owners, some of the most incredible responses are always, you know, just, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, this is eye-opening. I'm so glad to have it. Like, so much, people, dog owners, we want to learn, right? We care so much about our dogs. We want information. We're curious about our dogs, right? And so it's a shame that, you know, that it can be so difficult to find that knowledge and information and guidance sometimes.
Exactly. Now, before we close out our show, where can people find all of this great information?
Goodowners.dog or doggpt.com. Yeah, easy peasy.
All right. Thank you so much, Darren, for coming on Best Bets for Pets.
Thank you for having me, Michelle. This was wonderful.
One more quick question. What about ChatGPT? Is that coming soon?
Oh, that is the number one thing we get requested. That is definitely in the pipeline, for sure.
Because, you know, cats, you think dogs, there's a lot of questions for dogs. Oh, well, even more for cats. Cats are, yes, definitely interesting. Because I have a cat here now, and so yes. And a lot of people have dogs and cats.
Absolutely. And I'd say, you know, it took us three plus years to kind of build the knowledge set for the guide to dogs. I'm confident we'll be able to do the cat piece quicker with everything we've learned and how far we've come.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you again for coming on Best Bets for Pets.
Thanks so much for having me, Michelle.
I hope you all enjoyed the show. What great information. So wonderful to have Darren on the show. Please make sure to check out goodowners.dog or Good Owners Guide. And you can also find DogGPT on that site. And you'll have plenty of info. I am looking forward to ChatGPT. Thanks to my guest, Darren Belisario, for coming on Best Bets for Pets. Thanks to everyone that listens to Best Bets for Pets. I appreciate your listenership so much. Thanks to my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly, for constantly keeping me on my toes. And of course, huge, huge thank you to my amazing producer, Mark Winter, for working his magic and making this show sound amazing. And remember, you'll never know what we'll have next on Best Bets for Pets.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.